inside one. Before we do that, the message title is The Defense of the Triune God. That's understood by all men. Let's read verse number one.
Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ, is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begot him, loveth him also that is begotten of him.
In other words, the believing that Jesus is the Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son from heaven, only those that trust him are born of God. That word for born in the Greek is a perfect tense. That means something that happened in the past, the results continue in the present, and in the future. Once something is born again, you can never be unborn of God. You may be a sinner, you may follow your flesh, you may be out of fellowship with the Lord, but once you're genuinely born in the past, sometime, you're never going to be lost in the present of the future. Born of God. Everyone that believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. That's a scripture which we can comment on. And everyone that loveth him that begat, that is God the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. Everyone that loves him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. Again, a perfect tense. Those not just phony Christians, those who have been begotten in the past, results in the present and in the future, and those that loveth him that begat, loves also those that begotten of him. We should love one another as genuine believers. That's part of the Christian faith, and that's what this verse means. Verses as far as believing. This is in John 3:15. He that whosoever believeth in him, the Lord Jesus Christ, should not perish, but have everlasting eternal life. Now that word should not perish is missing from the false, heretical, satanic Greek text. And therefore the modern versions leave it out. They leave out the perishing. They don't believe in hell. Something's wrong here. I don't know. This four left. If I can crack it into subjection, I don't see it so thick. See if it continues. So, for the modern versions, they don't just hang us out. No, it's still thinking. I guess I'll just have to let it go. I'll fix it afterwards. If you take out this verse of 3:15, should not perish, that means there's no such thing as God. You're not going to perish. So that's not part of the verse. But in John 3:16, they didn't dare to take it out there because too many people know what it says. 3:15, they don't know. But 3:16 says, let's say it together. For God
so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
They didn't dare take it out of John 3:16. Too many people go after them. But they took it out of 3:15 because they didn't believe there was such a thing. So the modern version, this false Greek text, didn't believe such a thing as hell. And then they're believing again in John 3:18. These that believe, now these are genuine belief. It's not false, fake, half-hearted belief. True, genuine belief. People say, I believe this, they don't believe it at all. Saying it does not mean it. It's true from the heart. Genuine, he that genuinely believes on him, the Lord Jesus, is not condemned, not sent to hell, not spiritual for eternity in hell. But he that believeth not, the one that denies genuine faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, is condemned just already. He or she is bound for the devil's hell, the lake of fire. That's a sad thing. Condemned. That's what condemnation is from God. Why? Because he has not believed, genuine faith and belief, in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Another verse on belief. In John 3:36, we know this one. Let's say it together.
He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him.
That word for abide is right now. Presently, God's wrath abides with these that are not believing in Christ as their Savior, right here where they live. It's a sad, sad thing. I wish that everyone would trust the Lord Jesus as Savior so they wouldn't have to be condemned and have the wrath of God upon them, abiding on them. The wrath of God. And then John 3, verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Lord Jesus says, he that prepareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. There's genuine faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Something changes in that person's life, the man or the woman, the boy or the girl. They're passed from death, which is denying Christ, unto life, which is eternal life. It's a tremendous promise, a tremendous thing that we have. Then it says that either Jesus the Christ is born of God. That's a new birth. That must be. That's just what they're saying there, Christians are not. And it's on 1 John 4 and verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Real strong love, you're born again, past, present, and future. Then in 1 John 5 and verse 4, for them, whatsoever is born of God, new birth, genuine faith in Christ produces that. Born of God overcometh the world. There's victory over this wicked world if you're genuine Christian. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Genuine faith in Christ can overcome, have a victory, nakao, over this wicked world. The verse we have here is the way of Jesus the Christ, born of God again. Then the word begotten, that's verse 1, it talks about those that are begotten. In 1 Peter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again. Begotten us again. Born again unto a lively hope. We're no longer dead in sin, but we're alive in Christ. A lively hope. Heaven is a lively hope. The rapture of the church is coming again, a lively hope. By the resurrection of Jesus Christ, when he rose again, victorious. And then also on begotten in 1 John 5 and verse 18. We know that whosoever is born of God, genuine new birth, sin is not, does not continue, present tense does not continue in sin. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and the wicked one toucheth him not. The wicked one trying to get after him is not able to touch him successfully. Let's read verse number 2 again. By this
we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments.
This is how we know we're children of God. If we love God and keep, as the present tense continues, to keep his commandments. And the commandments we've given you out there, 24 pages on the back, of things that God has told us to do in the New Testament. 1,050. And we've got a lot, in order to keep those commandments, you've got to know them. You know the way to know them, you've got to read them, and you've got to keep them. And we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. 1,050 in the New Testament, not just the Old Testament, the New Testament. As far as the children of God, in Romans 8 and verse 16, the Spirit of God bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. There's a testimony by the Holy Spirit showing us that we've trusted Christ as Savior.
Thank you.
We are the children of God. In Galatians 3 and verse 26, we are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. The only way up to the person to become a child of God. On the moderation liberals say all of us are children of God. Everybody, we're all going to heaven. Absolutely false. A satanic lie. The only ones that are really children of God are by those that have genuine, true faith in the Lord Jesus as their Savior. In Romans 9, verse 8, that is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. We've got children of the flesh, unsaved people all over the world. They're not the children of God. Every child of God has the flesh as well as the spirit. But those that are the children of the flesh are not the children of God, as some modernist preachers say, oh, we're all the children of God. No, that's a false, satanic lie. But the children of the promise are counted for the seed. Now, this word, that keep this commandment. As we said before, we got it back to 24 pages, 1050, that keep his commandments. That's what we ought to do. I printed those out many years ago, and you can look at every one of them, count them up. These are commands in the New Testament for genuine Christians to follow. Let's read. All right, let's go to verse number 3.
For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous.
Those are the commands we're talking about. 1050. And this is the love of God that we keep. That's a present continuous action. People just want to keep them occasion. Just all when I feel like I want to keep what God commands me to do. No. Genuinely, continuously keeping his commandments. As I said before, hard to know how to keep them, you got to know what they are. You can't keep what you don't know. And if you don't know these commands in the New Testament, you can't keep them. And God commands us, if we're children of God, to generously, continuously keep those commandments. First, you have to know them. To know them, you have to read the New Testament. Read the Old Testament too, but read the New Testament if you're going to keep those commandments. And once you read them, you've got to follow and keep them and do what the commands are telling you to do. They're very interesting commandments, indeed. And notice it says his commandments are not grievous. Not grievous. Not hard to follow. A lot of things are grievous, are grieving to us. We don't like to do it. First is in Matthew 23 in verse 4. These Pharisees and all the other people are unbelievers. They bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne. That means very difficult. Grievous. And lay them on men's shoulders. They themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. Hypocrites. Somebody else do this. Keep them up. They're grievous. I don't want anything to do with them. I'm not going to follow myself, but I expect you to follow. That's heresy as well. In Acts 20, verse 29. Paul says, I know this, that after my departing, after he leaves that organization, this Lord Jesus, no, this is Paul, shall grievous wolves enter in among you. Wolves entering in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ in the book of Acts. Grievous wolves entering churches today? And the wolves are horrible wolves. The grievous wolves, it's painful. Not sparing the flock. They want the flock to be gone. They want to break up churches. It's a terrible thing. Then in Hebrews 12 and verse 11, no chastening. That's spanking, spanking by the Lord. No chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. When we're disciplined by the Lord, it's not joy, but grievous, hard. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them that are exercised thereby. Only those that are exercised by the chastening will be joyful and will be what they ought to be. And then verse number four, let's read that together.
For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith.
The victory, whatsoever is born of God. The new birth is necessary. And those that are born of God, it's probably difficult. It's going to be more difficult the way these last days are upon us. But if we're born of God, generously, new birth, that's again a perfect sense. Happened in the past, it's into the present, on into the future. You never lose our new birth. After overcometh the world, that word is nekao. It overcomes the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ can overcome anything that the world throws at us. The world is throwing at us many, many things. New things all the time. Heterosexuals, homosexuals, all. And then the people that are LGBT, all these other nonsensical things, half man, half woman, it's a horrible thing. But if we're born of God, we can overcome that world, even though it hits us in strange places, on television, on the internet, in newspapers and magazines, filth. But if you're genuinely born again, you can overcome that wicked world. You don't have to follow it. Just stand up against it. This is a victory that overcomes or even our faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I said before, being born again, in 1 John 4 and verse 7, let us love one another for love of God. Everyone that is born of God, a new birth, knoweth God. Then in 1 John 5, we read that always, Bible verse, that says, Jesus is born, is the Christ who is born of God. Then in 1 John 5, verse 4, we read that also, overcometh the world, and this is the victory, even our faith. Let's read verse number 5 again.
Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?
And there's a definition. Overcome, continue. That's present tense in the Greek text. He who continuously overcomes the world. Who is he? He that believeth, genuine faith, continuous action again. He that continues to believe that Jesus is, continuously is, doesn't stop being the Son of God, the Son of God, God's Son, sent to me. Not simply a man, but deity, God plus man, Son of God. Then this word for overcometh, that's having the victory over things. Now, when people are playing a game, whether it's baseball or football or hockey, whatever it is, there's only one that wins. That's it. He's got the victory continuously. Who is he? There's a continuous victory over the world. He that, again, present tense, continuously, genuinely believes that Jesus is the Son of God. That's the one that has the victory and overcomes this wicked world. Now, the word, the virtue, overcome, some of the virtues will overcome. This is the one right here in this verse. The Greek word is nikao, having victory. Nikkei is the word for victory. Then in Revelation 2 and verse 7, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, who has a victory on these churches, will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of paradise of God. That's in Revelation, a heavenly book. Then in Revelation 2 and verse 11, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh, again, has the victory over things, shall not be hurt of the second death. Those are Christians, Daniel. They have the first death, but not the second death. Second death is the thing that ends up people in hell itself. The genuine Christians have that. Then the believing of Jesus is the Son of God. There's some other verses on that. This is in Acts 8, and verse 37. Now, Philip was busy evangelizing one of the cities, and the Lord spoke to him and said, Philip, I want you to go and talk to one person. He had a whole crowd there. But I want you to go talk to one person. In Acts 8 and verse 37, he talked to the Lord, that person, led him to the light of the Lord, and he trusted Christ as his Savior. And he said, well, how can I be baptized? And Philip had something to ask him. If thou believest with all thine heart, that is genuine Christian, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Perfect God, perfect man. And then he baptized him. We have a lot of churches now that simply baptize in the water, even immersion, which we believe in. But they go down a dry center, come back a wet center. There's no change. Baptism doesn't save you. Baptism is a commemoration of the Lord's death, burial, and resurrection. It's a commemoration. It's a figure that we can honor. But this man, and he says, Lord, I believe. And then Philip did baptize him as a genuine Christian. And then in John 11, verse 27, that's Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And she, one of the sisters, she said unto him, the Lord, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God. And that believing, I believe you, Christ, the Son of God, and that which should come into the world. Mary or Martha, whichever this one was, trust the Lord Jesus as the Son of a perfect God and a perfect man. Very important belief to have. And then in John 20, verse 31, it talks about the things that are written down in Scripture. But these are written. New Testament truth. These are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Anointed One, the Christos, the Messiah, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through His name. Very important that you trust the Lord Jesus as the Son of God. Perfect God, perfect man. It's the Anthropos. God and man. Then in Acts 9, verse 20. And once that Paul was saved, once that Paul came to the Lord Jesus in chapter 9 of Acts, the Lord spoke to him. He was on his way to kill and persecute and imprison Christians. The Lord Jesus appeared to him and blinded him, physically blinded. Paul finally got the picture. This was the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord commissioned Paul as an apostle, told him to go into all the world and Gentiles and Jews and obey, and became an apostle because the Lord Jesus called him as well as the other 11. The 12th, Judas Iscariot, forsook him and fled. And some people say that the true prophet, or disciple and apostle that succeeded him was Matthias. Got him, first he's called our church. Screamed out and yelled out, was a very strong guy. It was Matthias. He's the 12th. No, it wasn't Matthias. It was Paul the Apostle. He's the 12th who replaced that traitor, Judas Iscariot. And so, then in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, we know this one that said, yeah, I am crucified
with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives within me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
Crucified with Christ. As far as God is concerned, we are there on the cross of Christ, crucified with him. I live by the faith of the Son of God. Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The Lord Jesus is the Son of God, perfect God and perfect man. We must believe that. Then in 1 John 5 and verse 5 is one of our verses. He said, believe in Jesus is the Son of God. Let's read verse number
6.
Yes. This is he
that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth.
Now, this difficult has verse, the Lord Jesus, you see, that came by water and blood. I understand probably the water means the bag of water that bursts at the birth of a child by the mother's water. In other words, he was perfectly human. If he didn't have that human breaking of the water in the mother's womb to break, give birth to the Lord Jesus, he didn't just come by a miracle and God just made him appear. It was a genuine, natural, human blood, but a virgin birth blood. Nothing to do with the husband. Joseph had nothing to do with Mary as far as the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. It had to be by the water, not a physical birth, and by blood. And the mother does never give blood to the child. It's the father. That's what the doctors say today here. And since the father Joseph had nothing whatsoever to do with it, birth was a virgin birth, the blood of Christ was by God himself. Perfect, sinless blood. And the water, human birth, and it's by the Spirit that bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. Now, the word truth, all the verses under Christians, in Proverbs 23, in verse 23, God tells the Old Testament, buy the truth, sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. People these days are selling the truth. They don't care about the truth. You've heard of all these different places have fake news, whether it's CNN or NBC or ABC, even Fox. Fox News has kicked out some of the conservatives and they've gone on to this other news, which is, what's it called, news? American News? All American? I can't remember. But they sell the truth. and they show wisdom and instruction and understanding. Then Isaiah 59 and verse 14 is another word on verse of truth. Judgment is turned away backward in those early days of Isaiah. Justice standeth afar off. They don't want justice. Truth is fallen in the streets. No truth. Like today, truth is fallen in the streets. People don't want to hear about truth. They want to hear about their lies, all the lies that people tell them, the preacher's lies, and the internet lies, and various other lies, newspapers, and all the other things, television. And equity cannot enter. Equity, equality, and purpose. And in Jeremiah 7, in verse 28, but thou shalt say unto them, the people he's speaking to, this is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of the Lord their God. That was what Israel was. That's why he forsook them. They forsook him first. They don't receive the instruction or correction. Truth is perished, says in Jeremiah 7:28, and is cut off from their mouth. They don't say it. They don't follow it. It's not even in existence. It's perished in that day of Jeremiah. Then in John 1 and verse 14. We know this one, I think it says again. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace, and the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, dwelt among us. Full of grace, full of truth. He was a wonderful Savior that spoke the truth, and that's why the reason and the purpose and the way that the whole New Testament was made from the Lord Jesus Christ. It said in John, I think it's chapter 14, but it says, whatsoever you hear, write down. And the Lord Jesus gave the Holy Spirit the words he wanted to write down in the New Testament. And the Spirit then gave the words to the writers, the human writers of the New Testament. And so the words of the New Testament are all authored by the Lord Jesus Christ. I think probably also the same is true of the Old Testament. That's the words. And the words of truth. And we have to have the proper Hebrew words, the proper Masoretic words, the proper Greek words, because they were given by the Lord Jesus in their truth. That's why we must forsake the false and fake Hebrew words that are not the Lord Jesus' words. And the Masoretic, the words in Hebrew. And we have also the false Greek words. Dear Dr. John, John was in the hospital, can't think of it.
Jack.
Mormon. Jack Mormon. What a wonderful writer, scholar he was and is, still is. upstairs in one of the books is a strong, big, fat book about 2 inches thick. Where he lists even in the New Testament 8,000 differences in the Greek text between the false Greek text and the true text that's in our Bible today. 8,000. A lot of them aren't too important, son. So we read another book. Instead of 2 inches, probably an inch and a half. Got that one too. And in that book, he says, though the 8,000, some of them not too important, but of the 8,000 differences in the Greek New Testament, 356, is that the number? I should quote the wrong number, don't you? 356 of these words are doctrinal passages. Doctrine. Very important. And all the new versions today are based on the false Greek text, the Gnostics corrected and made their text. And all these doctrines, 56 doctrines, are changed in these new versions. You won't find them. They're gone. And they make a lot of difference. In Romans 1:14-1:12. Which is it? I'm not ashamed. Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ.
Salvation to everyone if you leave it. Also to the Jew first.
Also to the Greek. Now, in that Romans, it's saying that I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, Lord Jesus Christ. They removed Christ because they hate him. these false people, like these false group texts. It just says of gospel of water, the gospel of someone's of it, not the Lord Jesus Christ. There's all kinds of different doctrines that are off in that false Greek text. And so we have to be strong and know the truth. And then in John 14:6, you know that one said, haven't you? Jesus said, I am
the way, the truth, and the life.
No one comes to the Father but by me.
He's the truth and the only the one that is the truth. All these false things, and false gospels and false versions do not have full truth. We have a little truth here, a little truth there, but we should want the whole truth, every single one that is true. The one the Lord Jesus gave, the Holy Spirit who gave to the human writers, and they wrote them down. Then we know John 14:6, let's say that one. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Then in 2 Timothy 2:15, you know that one too. Study
the scriptures.
Show thyself approved unto God.
For workmen that need to be ashamed.
And that's why we need to know the truth. We read the scriptures and know the truth. And rightly divide it and understand it. Because God wants us to do that. Showing ourselves approved unto God. It means study. It takes time to do that. We can't just assume and absorb all the truth and understand it without working for it and reading it and understanding it and asking God to help. Let's read verse number 7 here. There are three that there are
in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one.
That's the title of the message. These three are one. They're unified. They're a trinity. They're a tri-unity. They're tri, they're three, but they're unified. They're one. It's hard for us to understand how three can be one, but this is what the God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit are. And that's a record in heaven. Father, the Word, which is the Lord Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. These three are one, unified. In the Scriptures, New Testament referred to Father and Son, the Holy Spirit. We know He also was referred to many times. In John 5, in verse 21, for as the Father raises up the dead and quickeneth them and makes them alive, even as the Son quickeneth them as in whom He will. And the Father and the Son are listed in that same verse. They're together, unified. In John 5, in verse 22, the Father judges no man, but committeth all judgment unto the Son. So here's the Father and the Son, unified. The Holy Spirit is right there as well. And then in John 5:36. I have a greater witness than that of John, that is John the Baptist. The Lord Jesus is saying, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me, that the Father has sent me. Father sent the Son, unified, and Trinity, the Holy Spirit as well in the Spirit. You've already said John 14, verse 6, weigh the truth and the life. In John 14, verse 13, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So the Trinity is not always remembered in our work with the people today in churches and stuff. There's all sorts of unity churches. Unitarians, for example. They don't believe in any Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And there's some that pretend to be Trinity and Trinitarian doctrines, but they don't believe that the three persons are deity. A lot of people are supposed to be Trinitarian, believe in the Trinity. They don't believe in the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ for them. They don't believe in the deity of the Holy Spirit, the deity of God the Father. They're just playing church. It's a sad thing indeed. Let's read verse number
8.
Let's read number 8 together.
And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one.
Again, here's the water, which I believe it has to be a human birth, breaking the bag of water as a woman gives birth. And the blood, special divine blood that God created, not man. Mary and her birth had no blood whatever. Because that comes from the man, Joseph, and Joseph had nothing to do with the virgin, birth of Christ, Mary and woman. These three agree in what? That's why some of the verses on the blood. Ephesians 2:18. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Made near by the blood of Christ. Gentiles were way afar off, as well as the unclean Jews. Then in 1 John 1 and verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we sin, he cleanses us by confession in 1 John 1 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That word confess is homo logeo, homo same, logeo is the same. Confession is to say the same thing about our sins as God says. To agree with God. What we said or thought or did is sinful. And only if we agree with him, what we said thought is sinful, only then can we be forgiven our sin. Only then will we be cleansed. Don't understand these things. Not just go to some Roman Catholic confession. Just talk. We go to the Father and to the Son, the Lord himself, and we agree with these things that we've done, are sinful as he agrees, are sinful as well. And what? We read Ephesians 2. Now look at 1 John 1, 7. Did you read that? Okay. Let's read verse number 9 together. If we receive the witness of the hand,
the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son.
For Jesus Christ is God's witness of the Father, because he sent him in his deity. He died on the cross for our sins. And if we trust him as our Savior, he can forgive us our sins and give us eternal life. It's a wonderful gift. That's the witness. As far as witnesses are concerned, John 5:36. But I have greater witness than that of John the Baptist. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. All the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Father sent him to perform these, to show that he's deity as well as human, is human. Perfect God, perfect man. And then in John 8, verse 18. I am one that bear witness of myself, said the Lord Jesus, and the Father that sent me bear witness of me. So he bears witness of himself, and the Father bears witness and testimony that he is deity as well as humanity, perfect deity, perfect humanity. And in Acts 3:15, they say the Jews are talking about, and killed the Prince of Life, who is the Lord Jesus. They killed him, whom God has raised from the dead, whereof we are all witnesses. Over 500 in one song, as well as the apostles. After he was raised bodily from the grave. And these Jews killed the Prince of Life whom God raised from the dead. Miraculous raising from the dead. Let's read verse number 9, Jimmy.
Yes.
I'll read number 10.
He that believeth on the Son of God hath witnessed himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son.
Now this word for liar, he uses many times in the Scripture. Let's have some of these verses to talk about it. Now he that believeth the Son of God hath witnessed in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him, and believe that God made the Son the perfect virgin birth. That person denies that God hath made the Son is a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. That's the first lie right in the verse. Some other liars in other verses, for example, in John 8 in verse 44. He's talking about Satan here now. Satan himself. And he says to these Pharisees, ye are of your father, the devil. The devil children. And everybody that's not a Christian, the child is a child of the devil. People don't like to be called a child of the devil. They call them a child of the devil. They'll hit you, do something to strike you, do something. But that's true. That's the scriptural truth. You have your father, the devil. Before we were God's children by genuine faith in Christ, we were Satan's children. He bore us. He was the one that took care of us and Satan's children until we come to become God's children by genuine faith in the Savior, the Lord Jesus. Your father's a devil, he says to these Pharisees. the lusts of your father he will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. That's the way he operates. And abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. No truth in the devil. When he speaketh a lie, or again the word lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar. The devil's a liar and the father of it. He's the father of lies. So when you read lies in the newspaper, magazines, hear them on the internet, whatever, and they're lies, Satan is the father of all lies. And people like to lie. I don't know why they want to lie all the time. But he's the father of lies. Then John 8, verse 55. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. He's talking to liars. The Lord Jesus knew the Father from all eternity. His eternal God is, and the Father, God, Son, Holy Spirit from eternity. If I say I don't know him, I will be a liar like unto you. But I know him. I know him and keep his sayings. Another verse on liars. Titus chapter 1 and verse 12. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, false prophet of these Jews, said, the Cretans are always liars, always liars, evil beasts and slow bellies. So these Cretans are some of these liars mentioned by this Titus chapter 1 and verse 12. Then in 1 John verse 1, chapter 1, verse 10, John says, if we say that we have not sinned, a lot of people say, oh, I never sinned, I'm fine, I'm perfect. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar. We make God a liar. This is all of us have sinned. Not a single one of us. And his word is not in us. Another verse on liar, 1 John 2 and verse 4. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandment. Now, wait a minute. I know him. I don't keep his commandments. If that's the case, if anybody who says that, I say no, but doesn't keep his commandments, what's true of it? We make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Because God says we all have sinned. We say we're not sinned, we make God a liar. And his word says very clearly, all of us have sinned. I'm short of the glory of God. Another verse on liars. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 4.
Just did that.
Or just did, I'm sorry. And 1 John 2 and verse 22. Did we do that?
No.
Okay, 1 John 2 and 22. Who is a liar? Now here he defines who a liar is. It's interesting. Who is a liar? He that denieth that Jesus is the Christ. He's a liar. He is the Christ. If he says not, you're a liar. He is Antichrist. Against the Lord Jesus Christ and a liar. That denieth the Father and the Son. One more verse on liars. In 1 John 4 and verse 20. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, is a liar. He that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? Interesting. So those verses on liars. Let's read the last verse, verse number 11 together. And
this is the record. God has given
us
eternal life, and this life is in his Son.
That's the only place we can have eternal life, is by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and being. In John 3:15, we read it before, let's read it again. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. As I said before, the false Greek text, all of them, leave out, should not perish. Just he that believes in him has eternal life. But there's no negative of that, no negative as far as going to the place of heaven. And then John 6:68. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. The only one that has the words of eternal life is the Son of the Lord Jesus. And then in John 10:28. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. The Trinity is there, the Father who gave me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. That's part of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit is right there for us. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then in John, Romans 6:23-11, for the wages of sin is death,
but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
The only one that gives eternal life is Lord Jesus himself. Then in 1 John 5:11, we've already said that. It's the last verse that we read. This is the record that God has given to us, the eternal life, and this life is in his Son. These are important times in which we live, important days, important years. We have deniers of the Lord Jesus Christ all around us. And they don't even so much believe in the Trinity. Perfect God, perfect man, and the Holy Spirit of God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. From all eternity, we're in existence. Everyone. And they're going to be in future existence. Not only pre-existence, all the time in the future, all the time in the past, all the time in the present, all the time in the future as well. These are important things, important days. We've got to trust the Savior right now. Let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Father, we thank you for thy Son, the Lord Jesus. We thank you that he came into the wicked world, seeking to save those who are lost, like every one of us is or was. All people were lost first in their birth. And to give us eternal life when we genuinely trust him as our Savior. We thank you for this wonderful gift of eternal life. His promises will never die. We'll be with him in glory forever in the heavens above. We pray for those who have never trusted Lord Jesus, whether in our church here or those on the internet. We ask you, Lord, that by faith they may take him, realizing they're sinners before thee, and receiving Lord Jesus, accepting him as their Savior, the one that died in that place. As we mentioned in the Lord's Supper this morning, the Lord's table, we talked about this, that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Then you guide us and direct us. With us for our lunch and then back to our service at 1:30. In Jesus' name we ask him. Amen. Let's take our hymnals again and turn to hymn number 403. Like